The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sitting count. Our chest stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She generally speaking, she's trying to hide. I think I'm a pretty optimistic person. Her man look like I have hope. Wait, what is this, Chew? What is that?
That ain't mine.
What is that? What is that right there? What
it
is that?
Looks
I'd like
like
to say chocolate.
Did anyone see that?
Yes. It looks like the chalk outline of like a dead bug.
Smell it.
No. What is on this microphone?
I don't know.
It looks like marshmallow.
It's schmeg.
I gotta take this off, right?
It's up to you.
Disgusting. Why is the studio
it's just
being
gross.
Trashed? Between Brian D karate kidding the
I mean, it's fixed
microphone.
Now.
Yeah, I ain't buying that. Oh, I just touched it, and the metal snapped.
I mean, can we please...
I mean, in fairness, it was the plastic.
Can everybody see this on the stream? Are you watching on YouTube? Can you see... I'm trying to point it towards here. What is that?
I believe it's snot that's been there.
It looks
just
like a little
discolored.
Snot. It looks like a little snot.
Yeah.
It looks like bugs.
That's gross.
All right, well, that's cool. That's amazing. I guess I should take that with me, huh, Gabe? Like...
Yeah. If you want it to be protected, yes.
Don't leave it in the studio.
Correct.
If I want it to be protected.
Like, Chew doesn't care what happens to any of his stuff, so
but
he leaves
also,
it in here.
But also, caveat, Chewy is a monster of a man. Nobody's going to mess with Chewy stuff.
In fairness, the only,
they still do.
Yeah, the only thing that's happened here, I mean, they hit his glasses, hit his laptop.
But those were all pranks.
But you just said nobody's messing with his stuff.
Someone uses my...
Headphones?
Headphones. Just kind of
how do you know?
Gross. I guess.
No, not really.
It's not?
I mean, it's over the ear. It's not like it's the in the ear. If it was the little buds that's in the ear, that would be gross.
I don't like people touching me or touching my stuff.
I mean, then you probably shouldn't.
Did you touch my drum set? I know you touched my drum set.
Probably shouldn't leave your stuff just sitting in the studio then.
Maybe we should get a locker. Maybe, Chew, we should get a locker over here and just, you know, start putting our
Gabe
stuff in the locker.
Gabe has one, right?
I do.
I know.
You don't
Are
have
there
one?
Enough? I don't. Would you like to share a locker, or would that go against your people touching my stuff thing?
It's a lot of work to pick it up and bring it over there.
I know, it's like 6 feet that
this
way.
Is just very
it's like
convenient.
Right
yeah.
There. Yeah, but then you run the risk of people touching your stuff.
That's true.
Now, again, I leave
So
this-
what's more important, people touching your stuff or the convenience slash laziness of just leaving it over there?
I'll leave it there. It's fine.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were going to come to the conclusion of.
All right, so let's get back to it. Do you consider me generally optimistic, Gabe? Am I a generally optimistic person?
When it comes to what?
Just generally. I think I said that.
No, I would say she, well, cheerleader, of course. They got to be optimistic, right?
Go team!
miss okay. it, miss it, miss it. Oh, wait a minute. Make it, make it, make it.
All right, well, now you're attacking my intelligence. I don't like that at all. We are not sharing a locker. The reason I ask is because The Athletic put out a poll today of the most optimistic fan bases. So they went through and polled, how confident do you feel about your team headed into the upcoming season? And would you believe Packers fans coming off of last season, making that run in the playoffs, Jordan Love surprising the league, if you will, Packers fans rank number 4 on the hope-o-meter on The Athletic. Packers fans are very, very, very optimistic and hopeful about the success of this season. In fact, they use some metric, they use some algorithm, and they put percentages on it. Packers fans are 97.1% optimistic about this season. Now, I don't know what the standard is, Gabe. Is the standard making the Super Bowl? Is the standard making the playoffs? Because I got to be honest with you right now, I am 97% optimistic that the Green Bay Packers will be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not that optimistic that they will win the Super Bowl. So I would be curious what The Athletic's what we are optimistic about. Is it just that you have a stable franchise? Is it just that you're not a buffoon franchise? Is it just that you are going to have quote unquote success? See, the problem with that is that's pretty arbitrary, right, Chu?
Yep.
Just saying that a team is going to be successful is not, it doesn't take into account that different franchises have different standards for success, right?
How do I say this nicely?
Don't.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to be able to anyway, so just, you know, save us all the time.
Don't take it as a knock, but they're optimistic in 1987. They're optimistic in 1992. It's a very positive fan base. It's a lot of times they're not realistic. Are you agreeing or disagreeing? I like to use the word toad.
Sure.
Like, it's very, very toady.
But the question just is that they presented in The Athletic, are you optimistic about your team? Yes or no? That's all it was.
So because that's so open-ended, that sort of does take into account what each individual franchise's standards are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're a fan base like the Green Bay Packers and your standard of success is deep playoff runs and Super Bowls, then I think people are optimistic that that could be in their future. 97% optimistic, in fact, Gabe. Do you think that's fair with what we have seen from this team, with what we know is going to be a transitional season, certainly on defense? Do you think that's fair, or is it, to quote Chewy, a little toady?
No, I mean, I think if we were to poll it, I think everybody's optimistic about this team, because it's not, oh, are you optimistic about 2024? Just, are you optimistic about your franchise? And having the youngest franchise in the league, or having the team with the youngest roster, right? Only one guy over 30. Like, the future is very bright for the Green Bay Packers. There's nothing to be but optimistic. Now, do I think they're winning the Super Bowl this year? No. Do I think they're going to be winning a Super Bowl or competing for Super Bowls very, very soon? Yes. Yes, I do. And that's the reason for optimism when it comes to this
team.
Well,
then why? I mean, you look at teams that I would rank higher above the Packers.
Sure.
That are way down the list.
For example,
San Francisco.
I mean, they're going through a lot of turmoil right now. I mean, when this was probably conducted, you didn't have Ayuk under contract. He wasn't showing up to practice. You didn't have Trent Williams under contract. He wasn't showing up to practice. And kind of knowing that this is the last year that you have of this team. Like, I think the Niners are going to be great this year.
But
I think they're going to be good. I think they're going to be good going forward, Chu.
Yeah.
It's just going to have to be different than this iteration, because they're going to have to pay Purdy, and you won't be able to throw all the money in the world at Deebo Samuel and Bosa and Williams and Ayuk and McCaffrey and all these other guys that they have.
But their roster is better than Green Bay's roster.
Correct.
This year.
Yes.
Give me another team that was, I mean, you said like Miami?
Miami was way down there.
Miami was what, 19?
Miami is 18 at 73.5% optimism.
You think Miami should be more optimistic than that?
I would think so.
I think any skepticism surrounding the Miami Dolphins is because of the quarterback.
Well, and last year, they beat...
continued failure.
One team with a record better than 500. Like, they got fat. They got fat by scoring 70 points against a bad Broncos team.
Yeah.
And then anytime they played somebody good, they lost.
Give me another one who's far down the line.
So the Jets are 19th.
Yeah,
that's generational trauma.
For example, they've got two pessimists, because they kind of provide some quotes from every franchise, and this one, because they're a little further down, they have the two pessimists. They both end with, also, they're the Jets, and, oh, it's the Jets we're talking about. So, yes, generational trauma would be the way to describe the pessimism around
Cleveland's
the Jets.
Another one.
Yeah, Cleveland's way down there.
I mean, their quarterback doesn't want to play football.
Oh.
So. Josh, you're being a toad.
No. I think he's right about that, man. Chase did his fantasy football draft last night with a bunch of his buddies from school.
Yeah.
And he's looking for a backup quarterback, right? He was lucky enough to get Mahomes in his draft, so he feels pretty good about that. But he's looking for a backup quarterback, and I was like, I wouldn't go near Cleveland.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go near the Browns.
He's got shoulder injuries. He's not participating.
He's he's on a pitch count.
Yeah. What is
and
that?
As pessimist Steve points out, in the survey here, God hates the Browns.
That's true. That is true. Yes.
If
we're being honest,
that they were the worst team ever.
You know what's interesting, though? 29th on the list, guys, New England Patriots. What a fall from grace, right?
And that's fair, though.
Sure. Yeah. But, like, isn't it interesting that you can be on top of the NFL world for decades?
Yeah.
And then, obviously, lose your quarterback, Hall of Famer, lose your coach, Hall of Famer, and be sitting here kind of in this, like, no man's land of what are we, who are we, where are we going? That's where the Patriots are right now. They are 29th on the list with a 24.7% optimism.
Well, and New Englanders are different, you know?
Fair weather.
Oh, total fair weather. Red Sox suck. You think I watch them and that's my team? I care less.
I was going to say, you just told us how much of a fair weather you are yesterday.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Give me Philadelphia.
Ooh, very good question. So Philadelphia has a 90.6% confidence level. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Down at the bottom of the article, again, this is on The Athletic, you can see a graph that has them all stacked. Chu, if you had to guess what the least confident franchise in the country is, what would you say it is? We already told you that the Patriots are, what do we say, 29th?
29th. Mm-hmm.
What do you think the least confident franchise in the league is?
I would say either Arizona or Carolina.
I got Carolina's my vote.
Carolina's down there. I believe I saw them. Oh,
they're not that far down there.
4, 5, 6, 7. Is that right?
27th.
New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints have a 16% confidence level.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be excited about with the.
Nope. But, which is interesting because we've been doing this show, we said, for what, 5 years, 4 years, 5 years, 4 years?
4 years.
4 years. I remember early on in the show, when we talked about Mickey Loomis and we talked about the Saints and them going all in, and we made a joke about Thanos saying that it's just a matter of time before snap your fingers and this is a shell of itself. And people got real, real, real angry. Right? Remember, Saints fans came for us and were like, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's typical.
We knew all.
But the funny thing with New Orleans is I believe they were a top 10 offense last year. Which is insane.
That's correct.
800-990-3776. We were talking about the Athletic article, the Hope-O-Meter, which I always like when you can do an O-meter in there, a Hope-O-Meter, an optimism meter. And the Packers are number 4 on the list. We feel like that tracks with how, to use Chewy's word, toady. There's been a lot of gushing about the Packers this season. We have been very close to the Packers, covering them day in and day out. So we do see some things that could trip them up. Yesterday, Chewy made the declarative statement saying that the offensive line could be the thing that trips up this Packers team. Gabe, you have said the backup running back situation, the running back situation, just generally speaking, could be the thing that trips up this team. Are we too pessimistic? Should we fall in line with the 97% of people?
Never.
Well,
no.
But I think we're, like, Chewy, you're optimistic about the Green Bay Packers.
I am. I'm not going to do people a disservice by telling them, 17-0. I mean, those people, there's enough of those shows around. Okay? You want to listen to that crap? Go ahead. Turn the dial.
I think
I'm going to give you what I think is going to happen. I'm not going to be a toad. I'm not a cheerleader here. I'm sorry. Was that mean?
Wait, am I a cheerleader? I was a cheerleader, but when we talk about the Packers, do you think that I gush?
No.
Do you think I'm toady?
Okay. That's a yes.
No? We're moving down the scale, it feels like here, buddy.
He's trying to put it
look,
nice thing.
I'm still working on Gabe here. I'll get to you in a little while. I de-toated him.
I think we're misevaluating what the optimism means. We're taking a very this coming year approach to optimism, which could be construed as like in the future type thing. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's Chewy, what I'm optimistic about.
Chewy said he's going to predict the Packers to win a Super Bowl next year. That's optimism.
Yeah.
That's extreme optimism.
No, I think I thought it was based on this year. Okay, so
The question, as Gabe said it was, it seems just, are you optimistic about the team? Which to me can seem like for now and the next 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're a Saints fan, you're going, oh,
I'm between,
fixed.
Right now, I'm between 11-6 and 12-5.
Yeah, it's really good.
So
sense
if
optimism.
If they go
that's optimistic.
But if they go 10-7, it's like, oh, I was wrong.
But 10-7, make the playoffs, you know, like.
Well, then this is a dumb list. I mean, it's really, really stupid, you know?
Well, let me bring this up then before we go, because we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Where do you think Bears fans are, Chew? Where do you think Bears fans are on the hope-o-meter, the optimistic about their team this season? Again, taking into account that it's different for every team. Standards are different for every team. Bears fans are what percent optimistic?
Probably close to 100. They are every year. They're delusional. Like, I think Fields is our guy. I mean, you listen to Chicago radio at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They think they got the team. It takes about 3 weeks, and then they just bum wrap them, which is great.
A week before the NFL draft, a week before Justin Fields was traded, they were like, Fields is the guy. They're going to stick with it, and we're gonna load up on all more picks and get even better.
Yeah, trade that first pick. Yeah. Get so many picks.
When Mitch Trubisky was the starting quarterback, and there was some air of confidence that he would be able to be the
at least
he
went to the playoffs. Yeah. You know, at least they had a double digit win season.
Why,
when he took
they?
Over.
They are above the Packers at 97.6% optimism. So interesting. You said Bears fans are delusional, and they are at 97.6% optimistic. Packers fans are at 97.1% optimistic, but they're not delusional?
There's a difference between toady and delusional. Delusional, you have no idea. You have no idea if you're good or bad. That's delusional. Packer fans are they're optimistic, which is fine.
This feels a little like when a man is considered aggressive, a woman is considered aggressive and a man is considered assertive, right? Feeling like a little bit of that nuance splitting of the hair. We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You will not believe who is number one in the hope-o-meter, in the confidence meter, according to The Athletic. We will get to that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how much we love Palermo's around here, and we want you to love Palermo's as well. We're kicking off pro football this week with our friends at Palermo's. And hey, during, you know, the big game coming up on Friday, pay attention to our ESPN Milwaukee social media, because every time the green and gold score a touchdown Friday, you have a chance to win up to 10 free pizzas from Palermo's. That's right. Make sure you're taking a look at the ESPN Milwaukee social media pages, because you'll have a chance to win 10 free pizzas every time the green and gold score a touchdown this Friday. Hopefully they're punching it into the end zone quite a bit. And we're talking about Palermo's. We're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all these great brands that you have the opportunity to win 10 free pizzas every time the Packers score a touchdown on Friday. Make sure you're loading up on Palermo's, eating it during the game on Friday, and find it in a grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it's your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so.
Are Packers fans too optimistic about the team this season? The Athletic's Hopometer says that they are 97.1% optimistic about this year. And to be honest with you, Gabe, you've pushed back on me a few times when I have felt where I have, you know, articulated that I'm confident, that I'm excited, that I think this is going to be a good team. And you've been like, based on what? Right? That's kind of in your position. Like,
well, I mean, in terms of winning a Super Bowl, yes. Because what does every Super Bowl team have? Superstars. They have superstars. Packers don't have any superstars on the roster. At least not anybody who's proven that they're a superstar yet.
Define superstar. Your like
perennial pro bowler, somebody who's made an all-pro team, somebody who has been an
fair.
MVP.
Yeah, that's
like they're still such an unproven team.
Is that because they're young though? Like, could you just chalk that up to them being the youngest team in the NFL for the second straight year?
Yeah,
well, you don't let me ask you a question.
You just don't. You haven't had the opportunity to win a bunch of spots in the Pro Bowl,
but. They haven't been good enough either.
Let me ask you a question, because this is the first person that came to mind. Jair. Is Jair overrated? The way he's talked up, when's the last time he made a pro? I'm not talking 48th to a Pro Bowl. How many Pro Bowls does he have if he's considered one of the best corners in the league?
So he has been a second team All-Pro twice in his career. The last was 2022. Made a Pro Bowl in 22, made a Pro Bowl in 20, and was second team All-Pro both years.
Let me answer your question with a question.
Okay.
Do you think that Jair Alexander was misused in Joe Barry's defense?
I don't know how you misuse a corner.
He was second team all pro under Joe Barry.
I don't know how you, if because you're a good corner, the, then you lock down.
But that was the conflict.
He
right?
wanted to
we
play more man.
We had heard about that. We had heard that he was frustrated with the way he was being used in the Joe Barry defense. So what I'm wondering is here today, as we head into the 2024 season, is it fair to say Jair Alexander is overrated when we feel like he wanted to be used differently? Like you said, Gabe wanted to play more man-to-man with an old defensive coordinator. Is what? It maybe we should just wait and see how he looks with yeah. the Jeff Hafley defense.
I mean, you still don't pick up your ball and go home.
Well, that's
again, you know what I mean? Yes, I mean, I could have picked up my ball and you're signing Keith Jackson. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Screw, you know. You don't pick up your ball and go home, play yeah. football.
But to that point, I mean, under Joe Barry, he was hurt two of the seasons, the one foolish season.
Was he hurt?
Yeah, he was hurt last year.
Or he didn't want to play.
I think he was hurt.
Okay.
Because he was out there. Like, he was out there when he was healthy. And then he got suspended a game. So, you know, that factors in there as well.
But is he the closest to a superstar?
Yes. Based on what you have accomplished in this yes. league, yes.
Which is interesting, guys, because beyond Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who, again, his trajectory has just blown up over the last year... Who are the superstars on the Chiefs?
Chris Jones. No,
Chris Jones is really good.
Mahomes, Kelce.
Well, those two I did say.
Yeah, but like, those are two Hall of Fame talents. Those are two transcendent talents
but we don't
that are in the conversation
that,
of
just,
the best.
There's just too much that we haven't seen yet from the guys who the Packers have.
Correct, and you need more time to become those guys in order to become a Super Bowl championship team.
And we've been saying it since Joe Barry left. Is it Joe Barry or is it the players? I don't know. You cannot tell from this thing they call camp.
Correct.
Okay? You can't tell. So we're going to find out.
Artist
we're
going to
find out how
camp.
Many sacks. We're going to find how disruptive Rashawn Gary is. We're going to see if Devontae Wyatt can stop the run. We're going to see if Stokes is healthy and he can play. We're going to see if McKinney was a good signing.
If any of their linebackers are worth a damn.
Yeah. You know who else doesn't know?
The Packers?
Jeff Hafley. No, no. What, you're gonna determine whether a guy can play from hell? They got a hell of a pass rush in shorts and helmets. I know that for a fact. They can rush the passer when they're in helmets. I don't know. I like to think it's going to be good. I like to think they're aggressive. I don't know if they have the players to be aggressive. You know? I know when we had Reggie early on, when we first signed him,
yeah.
wasn't enough, right? Wasn't enough.
What, him and Yurko didn't provide enough pass rush?
I mean, we were good, but you needed Sean
the
Jones,
defense
you needed
he had
Eugene
was great.
Robinson, you needed guys. So these are all things we're going to find out.
800-990-3776. I told you we would tell you who the number one optimistic team is, and this number actually blows me away, guys. At 98.8% optimism, the Detroit Lions are number one on the Athletics Hope-O-Meter list, which means, guys, that the Packers and the Bears and the Lions all made the top four. What does that say about this division? You can't all be successful, right? There is a cannibalization that goes on mm-hmm. in the divisions. You play each other twice a year. You can't all... reach your goals, unless, of course, your goals are just so varied. The Bears are like, we just want to take the field. If we take the field and Caleb Williams makes it through the entire season without getting hurt, we will have been successful. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Adam Schefter coming up next. I think a really good question for Adam will be what Gabe said. Can you win a Super Bowl without bona fide superstars? That's next.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years. Let's get this deal in the books.
Let's get it done the way we want, structure it. If you're Jordan Love, you're banking all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. So, again, I think both sides win.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
We love spending time with our pal Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Happy week one.
We are very excited about the Packers game versus the Eagles this Friday. But we've been having a conversation. We were talking about the Athletic article on the Hope-O-Meter. Packers fans have come in at number 4 on the Hope-O-Meter, meaning that 97% of the fan base is optimistic about the team's success this season. Detroit Lions were 1, Bears were 3. But Gabe's...
Who's 2?
Who was 2?
Kansas City.
Thank you. Which, again, proof of concept. Plenty of proof of concept.
You're going for your third straight Super Bowl. I think there's plenty of reasons to be optimistic.
But it's very interesting. We were just talking about how a 1-2-3 out of the top 4 from the NFC North is very interesting. But Gabe's hesitation with the Packers this season stems from this concept that they don't have any quote-unquote bona fide superstars. That when he looks across the league, there are teams that have superstars. Gabe, what are you basing superstars on again? You were talking about
Pro Bowls, all pros. Obviously, you know, MVPs help, you know, in the case of Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. But even the Detroit Lions have, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, they have Penei Sewell, they have Aiden Hutchinson, they have these guys that have been, even with Hutchinson being so young, have made such an impact on the league. The Packers still seem like they have some growth to get those guys to, in terms of being like a Super Bowl contender. I think the Packers can still be a very good team this year. I don't know if they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender without stars, because that's what you need to win a championship in any league.
Was Aiden Hutchinson a standout at Michigan before he got drafted in the first round?
I would say yes.
So was Rashawn Gary, right?
Yeah, but Rashawn Gary has been in the league for 5 years and doesn't have a single double-digit sack season.
Okay. Superstars, did Jordan Love not sign a contract that makes him the highest-paid player in the game?
Yep, absolutely. I don't know if that means
based
he's a super.
Based on 9 games.
Yeah, like superstars, Adam,
how many, year in and year out. How many NFL MVPs do the Detroit Lions have on their roster right now? And players who have won the MVP award?
Oh, they don't have any.
Okay. And I'll bet you if we added up the Pro Bowls of the players on the Lions roster compared to the Pro Bowls of the players in the Packers roster, I'll bet you'd be closer than you think. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Green Bay had more Pro Bowls.
I don't know if they have a Pro. I mean, they've got... I think Elton made one.
I'm researching right now.
Yeah.
Hold on. I want real Pro Bowl. I don't want the 17th alternate going to the Pro Bowl.
He's really sensitive about that subject, Adam, because like he's a 3-time Pro Bowler and he's a 3-time legitimate Pro Bowler, and he gets burned anytime somebody else, you know, gets a Pro Bowl that they didn't deserve.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. Again, so you know, Chewy's, we'll call him the 3-time Pro Bowl tight end. That's great. And let's add up the rest of the Pro Bowl. Chewy's 3 Pro Bowls don't count towards the Packers' ledger. They don't count.
You haven't been.
What about Don Hutchinson?
We're not grandfathering you in.
Yeah, because Chewy would raise the profile of the Packers right now. He would, right? Like, that would happen. But we're not going to include him for the sake of comparing this year's teams on a neutral playing field. But I just think that this Green Bay team, I don't care how many accolades it has, how much praise it gets. Look, like the fact of the matter is, would you be surprised if the Packers went to the Super Bowl? No. Like, they got a good team. So I don't care, you know, if they have MVPs, Pro Bowl, stature, recognition, whatever. Who cares? Like, show me what the record is this year. Now, again, you can make an argument for the Packers winning the division. You can make an argument for the Lions winning the division. Those are two of the better teams in football. I will not be surprised if either one represents the NFC. I might make the argument today that those are the two best teams in the NFC. That's what I think, based on the way that the 49ers offseason is gone. It's been nothing but drama. Yesterday was the very first day in which they had Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, and Brandon Ayuk all practice on the same field together this entire offseason. Yesterday, first time. They're missing both their guards. Like, to me, I feel better about the Packers and Lions going into the season than I do the 49ers right now. That's me. Now, the 49ers may prove me wrong. We'll see.
Adam, what's the toughest division in the league, and what's the weakest division in the league?
Well, you know, here's what I would say to you there, Chewy. I'm going to give you an answer, and it doesn't mean a lot, because if you had asked me this question 1 year ago to the day, I never would have listed the AFC South as a tough division. I would have said that's the easiest division in football. And mm-hmm. in fact, almost overnight with one selection, it feels like it turned into one of the, if not the toughest division in football. So yes, on its surface, the NFC North is a very tough division. There are four good teams in my mind, any one of which can win it, some with better chances than others. We could agree on all those factors. But if all of a sudden Jaden Daniels becomes a version of C.J. Stroud, well, the NFC East all of a sudden plays well. Like, what if Daniel Jones plays the way he did 2 years ago when the Giants signed him to an extension? Jalen Hurts gets back to playing the way he did 2 years ago. Jaden Daniels becomes C.J. Stroud. We're going to say the NFC East may be the toughest division in football. But that's what we're going to find out here in the coming weeks. We don't know that going in. I'll say the NFC North is as tough as any division in football, and I would say the NFC South might be as soft as any division in football, and by the time we're to the halfway mark of the season, I might tell you the South is the toughest and the North is the weakest. Who knows?
Adam, you mentioned the drama surrounding the Niners. Obviously, a lot of drama surrounding the Cowboys. Drama surrounding Cincinnati because of all these different holdouts. If those teams end up having early success, how much does that continue to diminish the preseason and training camp?
Well, some of these teams will do well and some of them won't, because it's just the nature of the football season. And I think you want to eliminate drama and distractions if you can. Ideally, you'd like to have a clean summer. But because you don't have a clean, simple summer doesn't mean that you can't have success during the season. I can think of the Dallas Cowboys when Emmitt Smith held out back when Chewy was the three-time Pro Bowl tight end. And that was a situation the first couple of weeks. Dallas was drama city, and they bring in Emmitt, and they go on a run and win the Super Bowl that year, right? So you can survive and conquer. It's just not optimal. Like, there are enough issues in the NFL. It's hard enough to win as it is. You don't need to or want to introduce any added drama to make teams and players' lives any harder than they already are.
Adam Schefter hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. All right, Adam, so we obviously are getting ready for the Packers-Eagles game this Friday. And we have been talking about Saquon Barkley and how it feels like he is a man on a mission, frustrated by the way things went down in New York. Do you anticipate him having another breakout season, showing the league, being one of the top running backs in the country? And do you think it starts this Friday with him running all over the field on the Green Bay Packers?
So much so that in one of my drafts tonight, Jen, my teammates and I have the fifth overall pick, and we are considering, I'm not telling you we'll do it, but we're considering taking Saquon Barkley with the fifth overall pick, depending on how the board falls. Okay, that's how good I think he's going to be this year. I just think he's going to be Saquon Barkley that we saw. They like to throw the ball to their running back out of the backfield. Kellen Moore does in his offense. He heard, I'm sure, all the comments that the Giants had about him on Hard Knocks offseason. He's very talented. If he's healthy, he's going to be an elite player this year. Now, that doesn't mean he's going for 123 and a touchdown on Friday night, but it does mean I expect him to have a big year this year and be a focal part of a very strong offense.
Terrific. Great news. Thank you. Wonderful.
Adam, are you surprised Bakhtiari's not on an NFL roster?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I am surprised by that. I've seen a couple of his posts on Instagram. I'm like, oh, that's right. David's still out there. And I really thought, talking to him earlier this summer, that he would have a job a week or two into camp. And I'm surprised he doesn't, because, again, he was talking about playing multiple seasons. And he felt like he was in really good shape. And I'm surprised that it hasn't happened. Hold on one second. Hold on.
Uh-oh, he just signed.
Oh, he's taking a call. Adam Schefter with a call here Jeff David Chewy. We'll go ahead and give him a little mute so he can have that.
Something's about to happen, but I said I would get back to that person. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Something's about to happen.
You just got a lot of points, buddy.
Look, he hung up on them to come back with us. Like, that's... Man, that means a lot, Adam.
Well, but also now there's pressure.
I got a job to do. And when we hang up and then I post something here in a short period of time, you'll know that, that must have been what he was talking about.
Well, it's amazing.
Is it a weird look for the league to go to Brazil? Because, I mean, the teams are flying down there. We've heard now the players talk about how they've been advised to not even leave the hotel, not have their families go. I know they want to, you know, expand and grow the game globally. That's how they're going to continue to raise revenues across the NFL, Adam. But to go to a place that is seemingly unsafe for the players and families to travel to is an odd look, is it not?
Well, again, it's a 10-hour flight for the Eagles. I'm going to guess an 8-hour flight for the Packers. I know the Eagles are going out today. I would imagine the Packers are as well.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And look, you know, again, the story that I've told is there have been many games played in Mexico City. Mexico City is a great city. Brazil's a great city. Like Russell Okun, the former NFL offensive lineman, was sending me messages yesterday on Instagram saying, like, I can't believe people are ripping Brazil. It's beautiful. I love it there. It's great. And I'm sure it is. But it's just it's the danger of going to a foreign land that you don't know. Like, that's the issue. So, you know, we're stepping into a world that you don't know what it's about. Like, in Mexico City, when ESPN would go there to do the Monday night games, they would have security bring you from the ESPN trailer, Jen, you know what I'm talking about, like out to the parking lot, and then there would be cars waiting to take you back to the hotel. And a few years ago, on our most recent trip there, I got walked to the parking lot. I lost security, and I heard somebody yell, hotel, hotel. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's me, yeah, hotel. And I get in the car. I'm like, wait, hold on. I was driving off. I'm like, I may have just gotten kidnapped. Like, I cannot believe I just did that. And my heart was racing. Like, I was terrified. I started texting some of the, am I in the right car? Did I get in the right car? Am I not? Like, I was going to jump out the moving car door.
Tuck
like,
and
I was
roll? Getting, I was, you were going to tuck and roll, Adam?
I was plotting my exit strategy. Okay.
Do you need to let us go?
I feel
and we're seeing the wheels turning in your head here on the YouTube stream.
Yeah, They are. So anyway, it's just it's something that you got to be aware of when you go to another place.
I mean, we don't mind if you break it on our show. I mean, it's okay with us, Adam.
Yeah.
Sure. Shut up. All right, Adam, we will let you go. You obviously have very pressing matters there. We want to make sure that you do your job, Bill Belichick, and get that news out, whatever it is. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will be watching, obviously, very closely this weekend as the NFL season kicks off in earnest.
Thank you for having me, guys. Enjoy week one, and we'll look forward to being with you in week two. And do we get the answer to that Packers-Lions question about Pro Bowls?
Yes, I did find an answer here. If we remove Allen Robinson, who won, it was a Pro Bowl many years ago, it is about 7-6 with the Lions having one more Pro Bowler.
Very close.
One more.
Yeah.
One, as I said, it's a negligible difference, right?
I mean, one is still more than the other. Oh. I mean, there is. Turns out numbers have meaning.
All right, cut Adam loose so he can get to his job.
Adam, each and every week is brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. So visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What?
Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney. Ringo farted and it was horrible. Absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you love love sports betting, you have got to make your way to the sportsbook at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. And it will be the host tonight of our first Weekly Wager, the new betting show that me, Greg Matzik, and Ben Brust will be hosting live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's great sports book. Making some picks, got some bets that I think are going to pay out. We will talk about all of that tonight on the show. It's a new era of sports betting at Pottawatomie, so get in on the action. Ron and the Key weighing in saying, honestly, the right move is to hang up on you guys. As Adam Schefter had breaking news coming to his phone, he took a call while he was on with us last segment. Then he was obviously fielding text messages about some breaking news that you will, I'm sure, see shortly show up on Adam Schefter's Twitter account. So we will continue. Look at Gabe.
I don't know if I've ever refreshed Twitter this much. I'm dying to know what this news
should
was,
we
right?
Just guess what it is?
I mean, if it was Jamar Chase, he would have just bounced, right?
I think he would have hung up. I think if it were that big, I think he would have said, I got to go, right? Because that's the news everyone is waiting for in the NFL, right, Joshy?
Yes, I do think there is also a level of you have to probably make multiple texts and phone calls about that deal. So, like, if someone says, hey, a deal's happening, like, he probably has.
He's got to back it up.
Yeah, he's probably got some more work to do.
So what's the rush to be the first one to get the story out there?
Yeah, I mean, that's important for him as a news
breaker.
I'd love
to have that job. I just make stuff up.
Yeah, see, that's how
you
lose
can't
your
have
job.
The job.
Really? Well, what about the guy that broke all the news? But
are you familiar with the term credibility?
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about Pretty Ricky?
Pretty Ricky.
He's drop my spoon. He's a nobody. And I don't mean that to like, but he's not a, Adam Schefter gets paid millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to be the first one to break NFL news.
Yeah, Pretty Ricky's just doing it as
a
hobby.
Jen, hold on. What if I nailed 1 out of 10?
No.
ESPN's got to put it on the ticker below that Mark Chmura just reported that. I found it first.
The one time. Yeah, they're not going to put it down there unless they verify
it. You think they're in the blind squirrel market?
Twitter is.
There's some journalistic integrity to be upheld there.
Okay.
I mean, not a lot, but some. You can be wrong, but your hit rate as an insider has to be 90%.
So 95. He's racing against all the other guys, essentially.
Yeah, all the people from The Athletic and NFL Network and CBS and Fox.
And then, of course, the Pretty Rickies of the world, which are, again, I don't know who Pretty Ricky is.
I don't think anybody does.
He's retired.
Yeah, he did shut it down, didn't he? Uh-huh. But oftentimes you even...
Wait,
like,
Pretty Ricky shut it down?
Yeah, because of the Aiyuk stuff.
Why, because he was wrong?
Yes, essentially.
Pretty much.
Even though Brandon Aiyuk admitted to all the things that Pretty Ricky reported.
But what I was going to say about that is, you, even if you're Adam Schefter, have to guard against the security guard working the gate, you know what I mean, outside of Lambeau Field, who hears through the grapevine that such and such signing is happening and then tells his buddy who works at the bar, and then his buddy tweets it out saying, hearing chirps, or you know what I'm saying?
Remember,
like,
when
all of that type of stuff still happens kind of on the underground level.
Remember when the liquor store cashier broke the champagne? Because they all bought champagne and were all excited.
Like a boatload of champagne. Yes.
Well, I mean, $450 million gets you a lot.
What could this be?
Mums.
Why are they celebrating so largely in the Chiefs organization? Yes. Yeah, so Adam is kind of going, and now that one, obviously, he laughed about, right? Because there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. The Chiefs were guarding that secret pretty well, but obviously.
Whoops. Yeah. People want to celebrate.
Has he, did you refresh?
No, he hasn't tweeted anything yet.
What if he doesn't tweet anything today?
Devastating.
What a tease.
Devastating.
What if it's nothing?
I mean, then it goes from us feeling good that he just decided, no, I can get back to that, to, oh, it really wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
He was just kind of placating us.
I got to be honest with you. I'm sort of leaning that way right now anyway, guys, because I feel like if it was anything of substance, if it was anything significant, he's telling us he's got to go and hanging up the phone mid-segment. Yes? He doesn't like us that much.
But how many does he discard? Like, Adam, I'm breaking this news for you. The strength coach in Jacksonville just signed an extension.
Yeah, he doesn't care about that.
So
he doesn't care.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Very, very interesting. I actually had this conversation with Pete Thamel on Friday at dinner because he's fielding texts in the college football space always. And because of the way that the carousel works, guys, you can't really dismiss anything because you never know when a hire or a promotion, that guy will be the next the guy, right? And if you dismissed his story or news or information at one juncture, there's always a chance that that comes back to bite you in the butt later on. So he's very adamant about, like, look, I'm going to put stuff out there. You may not think it's important, but it is all building towards a potential future, you know, big story.
The relationship is all, because there's a few college football reporters, and you're looking at it, you're going, I don't know, I don't even know that team you're talking about. Like, I've heard of that college a couple handful of times, and you're talking about their offensive coordinator, but it's a give and take of that industry. Also, can't we argue that the fact we don't have news yet means this is like a gigantic story and there has to be thorough
that he's trying to vet?
Yeah.
Because
if it is a Jamar Chase contract, you can't just say signs an extension. You need the years, you need the signing bonus, you need the overall money, where it ranks, all that stuff. Like, you have to kind of figure all that out.
Yeah, very good point. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Big second hour of the show coming up. I don't know if you guys heard, but Michelle Smallman from Unsportsmanlike made her selection on who her new NFL team is, and we will talk about that after this.